Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 20 through 23. This year we've designated as the year of true worship, to really try to define worship, what is involved, what it really is, and in some cases what it is not. And so far we've talked to you about worship, who we worship. That's God Almighty, amen. The Lord God Almighty, the Trinity. And we have no problem understanding, hopefully, that we worship God, the true God, the living God, the only God. And why do we worship Him? Because of who He is. Because He wants us to worship Him. And there are different ways that we can do that. But look at this little occasion where Jesus was having a conversation with the woman of Samaria. In John chapter 4, verse 20, He said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." We are reminded by Jesus that God the Father wants us to worship Him. So we need to know how to worship. We need to know what is involved in worship. And tonight I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about where we worship and when do we worship. This woman had some of the very same questions as she was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we worship You? Where can that be done? When do we worship? And they had this lengthy conversation at the well. When they were talking, they talked about the water of life. I'm glad to tell you tonight, Jesus is the water of life. Amen. And He's the only one that will satisfy your eternal thirst. Nobody else is going to do that. They also talked about her marital history. And she had some history. She was a sinner that needed to be saved. Amen. So He was reminding her of some of that. And Jesus told her about His true identity, who He was. That He was, in fact, the Son of God, that He was deity, that she was speaking to the Son of God. And then He talked to her a little bit about worship and where it should take place. And they had a conversation about it. And I believe that Jesus was teaching her and teaching us too, because here it is tonight in Holy Writ for us to look at. And I believe there were three types that He mentioned here as He was discussing worship with her. And the first one was Samaritan worship. How the Samaritans worshiped the Lord and where they worshiped the Lord. The Samaritans, you know, were a mixed race of people. Therefore, the Jews really hated them. They didn't like them at all because primarily they were Jewish, but they were a mixed race. And they had Jewish roots. And the Jews hated them, and they tried to avoid them. That created a problem in any kind of religion or any kind of worship that they had. And so, since the Jews hated them and avoided them, they had to come up with their own system of worship, and they did. Isn't it amazing if people don't worship the Lord like they should, in the way God has told them, that they'll come up with something to worship, or some other place to worship, or some way to worship? We saw in the DVD that they have those idols that are around, and you can go to some countries, and on the side of the road, they have a statue of Mary, and you can stop if you want to and pray to her and think that you have to pray through her to get to God. You don't have to do that. Mary is not our co-redeemer, and Mary is not the one that we go through. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we see that is presented. And so they had their own pagan way of worshiping with their some Jewish elements that were involved in that at the temple at Mount Gerizim. And that's where they worshiped. But Jesus said in verse 22 that their worship was wrong. He said, ye worship ye know not what. You see, their worship was wrong. They didn't have the truth. And so though they called it worship, it was not worship in the true sense of the Word of God. Then we come to something we call Jewish worship. And the Jews had a form of worshiping God. They truly were in a better position than the Samaritans. They truly were the chosen people of God, and their system was given to them by God in the Old Testament. Who gave them the law? God gave them the law to go by. And it's very strict, and there's a whole lot in the book of Leviticus and other places about the law that God gave them. God set up the priesthood. Who set up the priesthood? Who was it that told them about the tabernacle and what clothes that the priest was to wear and what group was to be, the descendants of Aaron and all of those things? It was God that set that up. And you can read in the book of Exodus about many of the feast days that they had. Who set up those feast days for them? Who was it that wanted them not to forget the time when they came out in the Exodus and set up the Passover once a year? In those things, it was God that set up their form of worship and all of the things that went with it. And so much of that was around the temple activity of the worship of the Jews. And so many times it involved animal sacrifices. That is the shedding of blood. And so in the Old Testament, under Judaism, you have the type. You have, as it were, the shadow of the reality. But then we come to the New Testament and it all changes because we're no longer under that system of worship. They worship, they were a special people, a chosen people by God to represent God to all others around them that they were His people and His nation. And so they had this way of worship and they were promised the Messiah. Now that was better than what the Samaritans had. But then a new day came. And thank God Jesus expanded the place of worship. I'm glad that He did. I'm glad we entered into a completely new era. And it's because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we're able to enter into that new era as far as Christianity. Now, He says in verses 21... and 23, that there's a new day that is dawning. And we'll look at those verses as He tells us about that new day. And we ought to thank God for that new day. Look at verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, how? Watch it. In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Again and again and again, I remind you, God wants us to worship Him. God wants us to know how to worship Him and to be involved in worshiping the Lord. So we have the new day dawning here. The Old Testament form replaced with the New Testament reality. The new way, the living way. And it was through Jesus Christ. And they had to be taught that. And He wanted them to understand that. And Paul wanted them to understand that. He wrote about it. And we have in the book of Hebrews, for instance, chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by, listen to it, a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Thank God. Jesus ripped the veil from top to bottom and opened the door for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Jerusalem is no longer the center of worship. It was at one time. Jerusalem is important. In one of these days, a lot more things are going to happen in Jerusalem. But now Jerusalem is no longer the center of worship. There are no rituals. There are no sacrifices that we have to enter into. But thank God His, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, He opened the door and He opened the way to Almighty God by grace through His sacrificial death for us. And everybody who has placed their faith in Him became, at the moment they placed their faith in Jesus Christ, true worshipers. May I remind you tonight, you cannot worship Jesus properly until you get saved. Actually, you can't really worship Him. You've got to be born again to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you think that you go to worship services and you worship in other places and you've never been born again, you're kidding yourself. And you think you pray and God answers your prayer, that's the general grace of God. God's not answering your prayer. When you get saved, then you are in a position to begin to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who placed their faith in Him became true worshipers. Through Christ, we can worship God, listen, by ourselves or with someone else. Through Christ, we can worship God by ourselves or with others, with someone else. Someone said it this way, the mere thought of God anytime, anywhere, is all the occasion we need for another act of worship. I like that. Let me say it again. The mere thought of God anytime, anywhere, is all the occasion we need for another act of worship. Just think of Him and worship Him as you think of the Lord from your heart. Now, we can worship by ourselves. Verse 24, where He's talking about it, God is a Spirit. Don't forget that. I'm glad He is. We don't need a statue. We don't need a rock. We don't need silver. We don't need gold. We don't need a body. We know God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. They're together. But in spirit. We worship God in spirit by ourselves. And thank God that is not limited to the church house. We call this a worship service, and it is. And Sunday morning worship and Wednesday night is a form of the worship service. But you don't have to come to church to worship God. And there are many who think, I can't do that until I come to church and go through the rituals and go through the rites and go through all the things that they have taught me to go through. No, my friend, you don't have to come to church to worship God or to any particular location. You don't have to have a place. But thank God, a mother can worship God in the kitchen. Amen? And they can pray to Him, carry their burdens to the Lord. A student can worship God in the classroom, especially just before you're having a test. Dads can worship God in the factory. Amen? Can worship God wherever you are. The sick people can worship God in a hospital bed. They can worship God right there, to be sure. And businessmen can worship God in the office. You don't have to be at church to worship God. Anywhere, anytime that He touches our awareness of Him, we are ready and can right then and there worship God. And we ought to take advantage of that. But it's not limited to ourselves being alone. Thank God we can worship God with other people. And we come together as the ecclesia, the called out body of baptized believers, the local New Testament church, and group worship is very important as it is taught in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, you look at the history of Israel and they had group worship at times. In the early church, they certainly had people coming together in group worship. And the Bible commands it, I believe, in the Scripture, for us to come together and worship God. Matthew 4:10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him alone shalt thou serve. And we are to worship God and God alone, and we can worship Him together as we come together, understanding who we are, whose we are, and that we're worshiping Almighty God. Now, we find in the Scriptures that early Christians worshiped God many times together. What do we find them doing? They might be on a riverbank, but they're singing. They're worshiping God through songs. They may be somewhere else, but we might find them, as Paul would find them sometimes, on their knees praying. They're worshiping God. as a group of people who have come together. There are other times that they have a crowd that had gathered, and old Paul got up and preached his heart out and preached the love of God and preached sin hot, hell hot, sin as a form of guilt in our lives and all of that. And Paul just would preach the gospel, and the people that would gather around would worship God, and those who weren't saved, they would pray they would get saved, and they got saved. And then they worshiped God by their giving. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Amen. They worshiped God by their giving. And they were just that way about it. Acts 2:44, listen. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord, like I was talking about this morning, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. As they worshiped and came together, God blessed them, and souls were saved as they came together in corporate worship. C.S. Lewis said, "It is in the process of being worshiped that God communicates His presence to men." I like that. Listen to it again. It is in the process of being worshiped, while we're worshiping God, that God communicates His presence to men. He likes for us to worship, and He likes to draw close to us. And as we worship God, we're drawn closer to the Lord. And corporate worship in the early church was very important. It didn't matter if they were threatened with persecution. They still managed to get together. It didn't matter what they were going through. They still managed to worship the Lord. And some of them wavered a little bit. Persecution got hot and heavy. We don't know much about that yet. By the way, I don't know if any of you heard, a man on television the other night who is working with an organization that monitors Christians being persecuted around the world says that it's worldwide now, and it's amplifying, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Christians are going to be persecuted more and more, and I believe that's going to happen in America. We're already seeing some of it. It's already taking place. And some of these say, when you can't pray in public school, and you can't use the Bible as a textbook, and you can't quote something out of the Bible in a book report, something's wrong, my dear friend. Something sadly wrong, and we're going to face more and more and more of that. And so Hebrews was written to strengthen these people and to remind them that they were responsible for corporate worship. I believe that all who are saved, who have a membership in a local New Testament church, should gather with that church when the church meets and worships God. Amen? I'm glad you're here tonight. But you know there are some that are not here, but they're not going to hear about this unless you tell them I said it. So would you tell them I said it? Now, they may be watching live streaming. I don't know if we're doing that tonight, but if you are, you should be in church, unless you're providentially hindered. But I just believe God's people ought to want to go to church. Amen. Everybody ought to have a church membership. Amen? We ought to be baptized into the local New Testament church. When we get saved, we're placed into the body of Christ. But the local New Testament church, the visible church, people should have a church home. Amen. And these people who are not of this kind of persuasion, and many of them in the Pentecostal movement, they'll say, well, I'm going over here a little while. And then after a while, I'm going to go over here a little while. And after a while, well, we're going over here a little while. It just depends on what's happening and where the biggest thing is going on. And they say, but I'm still a member of the church, the true body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. You better study your Bible a little bit more. We're to be members of a local New Testament church, a called out body of baptized believers that meet on a regular occasion, that meet regularly because they want to worship God and serve God and see souls saved. And so in Hebrews 10:25, here's what he said. You're familiar with it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The closer we know and realize that He's coming again, then we ought to by all means gather together, assemble together, worship together, bring people to church with us, witness and try to get them down the aisle as we come to the organization that God ordained, the local New Testament church. A pastor was visiting a man who really didn't want to come to church very much. It was on a cold winter day. And as he was visiting him, there was a nice fire going in the fireplace, a real fire. Not one of these fake things like we have, but a real fire where you work and put the logs in there and light them and they burn and you have ashes when you get through. And it was a real fire. And so as he was there, he was talking to the man and he said to him, "I really wish you would be regular and faithful to church. I really wish you would come on to church like you should." And the man said, and I've heard him say stuff like this. Like I told you about a man once. He said, "My son and I will be on the mountain Sunday and we'll be closer to God than you are." No, he wasn't closer to God than we were. We were closer to God down at a lower elevation in church. But this man said, "Well, preacher, I can worship God at home just like I can worship God at church." And so the preacher saw those coals and he got the tongs and he reached in there and those hot embers and those coals and he pulled one out and just laid it up on the hearth on the side there. And after a little bit, it began to not glow anymore and got darker and darker and darker. And the man got the message. Are you getting the message? You see? And when it was in there with the rest of them in the fire, it was burning hot and it was on fire. And I'm telling you, people that go to church and worship God, they're going to be more on fire for God than those who don't. It's just a fact of the Word of God. And he said that he would definitely be in church the very next Sunday. He said, "I'll be there, preacher. I get the message." Listen, God wants us to worship Him. It is a privilege to worship Almighty God. It's a joy to sing to His name and sing glory to His name and praises to His name. It's a thrill and joy to try to win souls. It's a thrill to give to God some of our money that He's so graciously given to us, to worship Him in that way. But let me tell you again, you cannot worship God, as the Bible talks about, until you get saved. You must be born again. Are you born again tonight? Do you know for sure that you're saved? And you can't worship God until you do it. But then, after you're saved, don't neglect all of the ways and all of the privileges God has given to us to worship. Find time every day in your life all along the way. I heard someone say the other day that they had finally come to the place that he started talking to God every day. It was like it was some kind of unusual, unique thing. We ought to talk to God all the time. He ought to be so real to us that we worship Him from our heart wherever we are. We can do it as an individual. You husbands and wives get together in prayer at home and Bible study and your devotions. Worship God together and by all means come to church and worship God as we live for Him and serve Him. He wants our worship. He's pleased with it. Aren't you glad we're not under the Old Testament law? Aren't you glad we don't have to go to Jerusalem? Most of us couldn't afford it tonight if we had to go there and worship at the temple. But thank God we can worship Him tonight as we have done in spirit and in truth. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Maybe you want to come to the altar and talk to God. You can't worship Him. I said it in the last message. Listen to me again. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, you cannot properly worship God. You hear me? You need to confess it and talk to Him. And confess it means see it like He sees it and tell Him it's wrong and get it right. So you can be back in a position, in a frame of heart and mind, so you can worship God. Christians need to do that. If you're here without Christ, come. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Jesus, thank You for letting us look in on one of the times when You were talking to a woman. We know You never said anything that was unnecessary or in vain. So what You told her is something we need to heed tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be thankful for the privilege of worship. There's someone here that's unsaved. I pray they get saved tonight. There's someone here that has sin in their lives, a Christian that's hindering their worship. I pray they get that right. Oh God, I pray that we would take advantage of such a sweet, sweet privilege we have to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a need, would you come tonight and join others that are come to the altar?